Let's be honest. We often say we long to know the will of God, but in the end, we're not willing to embrace it. Why is that? Well, the Bible teaches that following God's will is rarely easy. Change is hard, especially when it's uncomfortable. And inevitably, implementing God's will requires major adjustments. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that God intentionally doles out assignments that exceed our natural abilities. This demonstrates His power to a watching world. Are you ready for a challenging message? Chuck titled his sermon, Moving from Theory to Reality.
There have been times looking back in my life when I realized I said I wanted to do His will, but I really didn't. It's hard to confess to everybody who knows me as well as you do, but I confess, looking back with 20/20 hindsight, I realize now I resisted His will. I want to give you a couple of three verses out of Acts 20. Look at 22 through 24. Acts 20, verses 22 to 24. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. When Paul refers to being bound in spirit, he has in mind the direction that the Spirit is leading him, caught up in it, committed to it, bonded by it. And now, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, bonds and afflictions await me. Whew. I'm leaving you folks here in Ephesus, in Miletus, and I'm going where it's not going to be as comfortable. In fact, there are going to be bonds and afflictions. There are going to be struggles, pressures, discomforts. But I do not consider my life of any count as dear to myself. There's the answer to being wholly willing to do whatever, in order that I may finish my course in the ministry I received of the Lord Jesus. So then, how does He lead us into His will today? There are probably 10 things I could list. I will limit my comments to four. Four significant methods of God's leading. Number one, you've certainly gotten it by now, through His written word. Would you like to write the verses and then let me read them to you? Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, which we looked at last time. This is the will of God. When you come across that, you know that's His will. And you know to disobey that is to break His word. Here's another one for you, and it might be timely that I say this today. When it has to do with your marrying someone. 1 Corinthians 7:39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she's free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. It is never God's will that you marry an unbeliever. Never His wish. Never His desire. Maybe that's clear enough. I just hear all kinds of backpedaling and semantic footwork as people try to convince themselves, I know my mate will change once I'm married. And sometimes they do. But it is not a fulfillment of in the Lord. Because 1 Corinthians 7:39 says only in the Lord. Number two, having said all of that, listen to my second one. Through the inner promptings that come from the Spirit. Yeah, I'm not going to be so objective that you've got a verse for every single thing I say. It doesn't work like that. Let me show you why. You're in the New Testament. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Through the inner promptings from the Holy Spirit. And I just found a great example this morning. I wanted to just shout glory. It was pretty early, and I didn't do that. Look at Philippians 2, verse 12. Verse 13. So then, my beloved, when you read my beloved, it always is a reference to fellow Christians. So, fellow Christians, just as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more that I'm gone in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that you've been born again, work it out, think it through, discern, use your head, pay attention, get serious about your Christian walk. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Watch, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's why he can say in the next verse, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Look, let me show you Jude, of all places. That's where I almost shouted glory. Finding Jude makes you shout glory. Just before Revelation. If it's got more than one chapter, you're in the wrong place, okay? Look at verse 3. I love this. Never saw it before like I did in this morning when I was working through the will of God on this inner promptings. Look at verse 3. Beloved, now, who's he writing to? Got it. This is a fellow Christian. Fellow Christians, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, stop. Don't look any further. Jude started to write a letter to his friends about soteriology, the study of salvation, the work of Christ on the cross, the redemption, the plan of forgiveness from sin through the blood of Christ. That was my original plan. I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. And I'm now writing an apologetic. I started out writing salvation. I couldn't get going. Blank pages. I tore it up and started over. And whatever it was, I was turned inexorably toward the defense of the faith. And that must have just flowed as he writes this incredibly significant letter on the Acts of the Apostates. Jude is admitting, I felt the necessity. I've underlined that in my Bible. That's nothing more than inner prompting from the Spirit of God. I felt the necessity. I felt the necessity of opening again this invitation to Dallas Seminary. I felt the necessity of entertaining their comments when I was around them at times. They even put me on a presidential search committee. And in the midst of that search committee, I was responsible for contacting four men, all of whom said, why are you calling me? You ought to be doing this. What's the matter with those guys? I'm thinking, you are the one that's lettered and qualified and experienced, and you got all this great stuff, and they wouldn't even talk to me. One said, I'm not even going to talk to you. You're obviously the one that ought to be doing this. Slam that phone down and... He's obviously not open to the will of God for his life. I'm not going to search that any further. And I tell you, you sit there right now thinking, I believe I really know God's will for such and such. You may be dead wrong. You just, let me testify for the fact that you can write a letter that's airtight right now, and 6 months from now, 8 months or whatever, you might be saying, you know what? I'm glad I never mailed that. Unfortunately, I mailed mine. Look at Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Isn't that great? Nothing wrong with planning. Nothing wrong with thinking it through. Nothing wrong with setting it out, doing your charts, talking it over. But stay sensitive. God, in the midst of your planning, as you're moving, it's easier to, we've said for years, easier to steer a moving car. Just get the car rolling. You can finally move it into the filling station to get the gas. Just, if it's dead still, it's hard to get it moving. So you're on your way. You're making your plans. You're thinking it through. Just stay open. You'll find inner promptings that'll sort of spurt a thought that'll say, I can't believe I'm still kind of interested in that. I wonder what the Lord's doing. I wonder where he's going with this. As Henry Blackaby says, find out what God is doing and go there. Just go there. Why do you want to be anywhere where God isn't at work? It's really hard when you've got two things you love and two areas of the country you really struggle over. whatever. Put it down, read it later, Psalm 32, 6 through 9. Psalm 32, 6 through 9. I'll quote it. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass thee about with songs of deliverance. I will teach you. I will guide you in the way you ought to go. And then it says, don't be like the mule and don't be like the horse. Isn't that interesting? I will guide you with my eye on you. If I guide you with my eye, where do you have to be looking? At my eyes. And if I do that, you know where I'm guiding you. There's no voice. There's no motion. There's no sound. It's just the movement of my eyes. I'm saying, go over there. I'll guide you. It's that sensitive. The Spirit of God inside is steering us. Look at Proverbs 20:24. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? I love that. When it's all said and done, you'll say, could have had a V8. Man, I didn't figure this thing out. The longer I'm at it, the less I know about why he leads like he leads. Why does he do it? Number three, you expect this one. The counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people. The counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people. This is not the local bartender. Okay? This is not the guy at the bus stop that looks holy. This is a wise, qualified, trustworthy individual. They're usually older, usually more mature, and they've got nothing to gain or lose. Which means they're not always in your immediate family. Immediate family members usually don't want you to do something that'll take you away from them. You want some verses for this? You're in Proverbs. Look at 19:20. Listen to the counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. That's 19:20. 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. 27:19, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects man. Hope this isn't too fast. 20:5, the plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. I think of two illustrations, one from today and one from the scriptures. Moses listened to Jethro, his father-in-law, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 19 and following. And Jethro said, Moses, you're leading, trying to do it all, you need help. And Moses listened, and he found the will of God was that he delegate. Here's another one from today's life. Fourth and one, you're behind. You're behind by 2 points, and you're on the 30-yard line. You can win with a place kick, or you can run and get a first down because there's a minute and a half left. You turn the ball over, they're going to have a chance to score. And a place kick for them puts them ahead. 4th and 1, what do you do? Timeout. And this seasoned, grizzled old quarterback walks over and talks to a more seasoned, objective coach whose job is on the line for the call like that. And the coach says, kick the field goal. We got a defense that'll hold him. Or he'll say, give the ball to so-and-so. Let's run for that. We've got a good running game going, and they're tired. They've been on the field a long time. It's a judgment call. So the quarterback doesn't change. He takes the counsel of the seasoned coach. Except in the most unusual settings will you disagree with the counsel of the mature, seasoned individuals. As I sought the counsel of seasoned individuals at critical moments in my own life, they were never wrong. That's been my experience. You may have another testimony, but I can tell you, because I chose my counselors very carefully. They're not always your best friends. They're the people who want only what God wants. They'll listen slowly and they'll answer slowly. They sometimes won't give you an answer at the time you ask for it. They want to sleep on it. They want to think about it. You got it. Last, you will have an inner assurance of peace. Colossians 3:15, it will act as an umpire in your heart. An inner assurance of peace. I wasn't smart enough to think of a good wrap-up for this, so I had to turn to one a lot wiser than I, one who's written on it much more than I have, and that's Henry Blackaby in his fine book, Experiencing God. All I ask you to do is just listen. Well, I do want you to write a couple of principles down. They're both his principles. First, write this down. Doing God's will leads to a crisis of belief. Put quotes on crisis of belief. Doing God's will leads to a, quote, crisis of belief. What's a crisis of belief? Quoting Blackaby, it is a turning point or a fork in the road that demands you make a decision. It's a turning point or a fork in the road that demands you make a decision. Doing God's will finally demand a decision. And that decision requires, get them both, faith and action. Faith and action. You can't see the end, so you've got to trust Him in faith, and then you've got to step out. You got to act. Faith and action. Hardest things in the world. Stepping before that Red Sea and going. Faith and action. Would have been no good if the sea had opened and they hadn't crossed. Would have been no good if God hadn't opened the sea. They'd have all been drowned. Faith and action. Blackaby. God is wanting to reveal Himself to a watching world. He does not call you to get involved just so people can see what you can do. He calls you to an assignment that you cannot do without Him. The assignment will have God-sized dimensions. I read this to Cynthia this morning, and we both were blessed. Some people say, God will never ask me to do something I can't do. I have come to the place in my life, writes Blackaby, that if the assignment I sense God is giving me is something I know I can handle, I know it probably is not from God. The kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. They are always beyond what people can do because He wants to demonstrate His nature, His strength, His provision, His kindness to His people, to a watching world. That is the only way the world will come to know Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, Hebrews 11:6 says, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. My paraphrase, they must believe that God is who He says He is, and God will do what He says He will do. God is who He says He is. What's that? All the stuff we've talked about. God will do what He says He will do. What's that? Promises in the Scriptures. Take you through situations you think you can't handle. When Cynthia and I started Insight for Living, we had never been involved in anything like this, ever in our lives. We knew of no other couple who had started like we had started. We had no background in radio, no understanding of the world of media. We really didn't know that many people in media. We didn't even listen to Christian radio. We were not in any way qualified to do what God-sized plan was for us to do. We get credit for things that only God should be receiving the credit for. We are so over our head many times, and we just say, often, this is the truth. Lord, here we are again. Now, that ought to give you a lot of peace, knowing you're working for leaders that say, Lord, here we are. We call Kurt. Maybe Kurt knows. Kurt, I don't know. Well, we're going to trust God in through this. And we all do it together. Buddy does it with us. And, you know, Scott will do this with us. We'll get to a place. We'll back up in a corner. We can't work this out. So we trust Him. And God will move in a special way. He'll give us a direction, and we'll go there. It's God-sized. And we're there again. That's the only thing I want to be involved in, is that kind of thing. I don't want to maintain a status quo, which the country preacher says is nothing more than Latin for the mess we're in. That's all. I don't want that. Here's a second principle. To join in what God is doing, we must make major adjustments. You knew I was going to get personal, didn't you? This is a Blackaby principle. To join in what God is doing, we must make major adjustments. Now hang on. That leads to risk and release, which spells change. Want it again? To join in what God is doing, we must make major adjustments. And that always leads to risk and release, which spells out in the word change. Thank you for your patience. Final quote, and I read from his book, In Experiencing God, page 147. This is going to hurt, but it needs to be said. It's going to hurt some more than others. You cannot continue life as usual or stay where you are and go with God at the same time. That is true throughout Scripture. Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark at the same time. Abram could not stay in Ur or Haran and father a nation in Canaan. Moses could not stay on the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. David had to leave his sheep to become the king. Amos had to leave the sycamore trees in order to preach in the courts of Israel. Jonah had to leave his home and overcome a major prejudice in order to preach in Nineveh. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to leave their fishing businesses to follow Jesus. Matthew had to leave his tax collector's booth to follow Jesus. Saul, later Paul, had to completely change directions in life in order to be used of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Something to think about before tomorrow. What makes risk so difficult for you? Perhaps the same question asked another way. Why is change such a challenge? And I want you to put in parenthesis, be painfully honest. Be painfully honest. Before we break up, I want to lead us in prayer. Thank you, dear Father, for directing our thoughts during our time together. Thank you for blowing away some of the fog and clearing out some of the nettles and overgrown vines, that tradition or bad habits or just plain sloth have allowed to grow there. Thank you also, Father, for the excitement that builds within us as we think of the fun it is to walk with you through a risky path, knowing that you will protect us all the way. What an adventure. What an excitement. What a challenge. But we admit also, Father, that everything within us, when we live and lean on our own understanding, screams to keep it like it is. Just leave it alone. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. When that's really not a statement from Scripture. Many things need to be rearranged that aren't broken. Many paths need to be corrected that aren't necessarily going in a wrong direction. They're just not in the direction that's for your best interest rather than our own. So help us, Father, not to substitute the good for the very best. Help us to see this with us in mind, not our neighbor or our mate or our child or our parent or friend. Help us to make it painfully personal and to be more honest than we've ever been before. Thank you in advance for the things you're going to teach and say and the way you're going to lead as we open our minds to the perfect will of God, the best and safest place on earth to be. In Jesus' dear name, I ask this. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And with his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes another message in his practical teaching series called The Mystery of God's Will. This is message number 2 in an 11-part study. And as we get started, I want to point you to a practical book that Chuck's written that dovetails naturally with this topic. It's our featured resource right now, and it's called What If God Has Other Plans? You know, few things will test our faith more than an unexpected crisis. Things like a financial disaster, dealing with a disrespectful boss, betrayal by your best friend. These difficult moments expose our fears, our feelings of inadequacy, our insecurities. In his book, Chuck Swindoll addresses 11 complicated issues with 11 biblical answers. Today, we're pleased to offer Chuck's book, When You Step Forward to Become a Monthly Companion. It comes with our profound gratitude for your partnership. Let me give you some context for this important relationship with Insight for Living. As a monthly companion, you agree to send a monthly donation in the amount of your choice. When you do, you play a significant role in making this daily program available. If you think about it, when you first started listening to Chuck Swindoll teach on the Bible, that moment was sponsored by someone you never met. It was a monthly companion who sponsored you. And you can take that step today. To provide for someone else what was once provided to you, we invite you to become a monthly companion. And to thank you for your first-time donation as a monthly companion, we'll say thanks by providing a copy of Chuck's book, What If God Has Other Plans? One of our ministry reps will be glad to walk you through the process when you call us at 800-772-8888. Or become a monthly companion by following the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll presents a practical message called Fleshing Out the Will of God, Monday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Moving from Theory to Reality, was copyrighted in 1998, 2000, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.